our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
You remember Paul had lived in good conscience before God? But Paul had been killing Christians. Was he doing anything wrong by killing Christians? Well, sure he was, even though he said he had a good conscience about it. He's not saying here that your conscience is going to be your guide necessarily, but the principle is still laid out here for us that if I do something that I think is wrong, whether it's right or not, if I think it's wrong and I go ahead and do it, then I've done wrong because I have the attitude of having a rebellious spirit against God.
Our conscience can tell us that what we are doing is okay, even if it is wrong. We can actually do something bad so many times that our conscience doesn't bother us about it anymore. If the conscience is not to be our guide, then what is? What is the standard by which we can determine whether something is really right or if it is really wrong?
In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, John writes, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." We're talking about the conscience at this moment. We had just finished talking about love and how we are to love each other, and now he goes into a discourse talking about our consciences. For if our heart condemns us, that is, if we don't have a clear conscience about things, if your conscience is bothering you, we need to straighten that up. Even if what you've done is okay, but it bothers your conscience, you've still done wrong. In fact, Paul would write something similar to that in Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn over to Romans chapter 14 and verse 22. Paul says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." In other words, if you do something not in clear conscience or by faith, having a clean conscience before God, if you do something that is not in good conscience, it is sin. Someone says, "Well, why is it a sin?" Because of the rebellious attitude. Think about it. Here's a brother or a sister in Christ, and they actually think that by doing this certain action, that it's wrong. Well, God may know that it's not wrong, but here's a guy who actually thinks that doing that action is wrong, but he says, "Well, it's wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway." That's the rebellious disposition of heart, because it breaks his conscience, but he still decides, even if it is wrong, I'm still going to do it. So in his own mind, really, he is already rebelling against God. If our heart condemn us, it says in verse 20, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. He doesn't say, now, if your conscience is clear, then everything is going to be fine. That's not the point. The point is not, hey, let your conscience be your guide. Our conscience is not the standard by which we determine whether something's all right or not. God's Word is that standard. If we are trained up in God's Word, it's easier for us to know and to have a good and clean conscience about things. But we're not going to be judged according to whether we had a clean conscience on a certain matter. You remember Paul had lived in good conscience before God? But Paul had been killing Christians. Was he doing anything wrong by killing Christians? Well, sure he was, even though he said he had a good conscience about it. And so he's not saying here that your conscience is going to be your guide necessarily, but the principle is still laid out here for us that if I do something that I think is wrong, whether it's right or not, if I think it's wrong and I go ahead and do it, then I've done wrong because I have rebelled against the attitude of having a rebellious spirit against God. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Sometimes we pray to God and we just pray any old thing we want to pray. We need to pray and we need to learn to pray that God would work out His will for us. We cannot or should not pray for something that is out of harmony with the will of God. We need to keep that in mind. We live and we pray as God would have us to do these things. And because we keep his commandments, because we do those things, then we are pleasing in his sight. And because of that, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. And this is the commandment, he says in verse 23, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. What does this word believe here mean? Does it mean, well, just believe that he's God? No, no, this is an all-inclusive word. This is the whole system of faith, that we are to believe in God, but that we are also to believe God. You see, there's a difference in believing in something and believing something. Believing in God, a lot of people believe in God, but not everyone believes God. If they did, they would live their lives according to what he said. And so we are to believe the whole system of faith that is laid out for us in scriptures. And then also it says to love one another. Well, that goes back to what we had just covered in a previous lesson about loving each other. That's where it all stems from. Because we know God, because we keep his commandments, and then we love one another. He that keepeth his commandments, verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Turn back over, if you're following along, to 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at verse 27 together. Verse 27 of 1 John 2 says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. You see all this? Back here in verse 24 of 1 John 3, it said, he dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Well, how did he give that Spirit? The anointing. Well, what was the anointing back then? They had the miraculous abilities to do things. They had the ability to miraculously tell whether a man was speaking the truth or wasn't speaking the truth. And so he's saying the same one that gave you those miraculous abilities is the same one that tells you that you should abide in Christ. This anointing, these miraculous abilities have equipped you to know about the things that have been troubling you. You have all the knowledge that you need. He said that in the previous chapter. And so now here are these false teachers denying that Christ had come in the flesh. These false teachers pretending to be inspired. And over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, he's going to call them false prophets. The fact that John called them false prophets shows that they at least claimed inspiration. And so they're claiming to be inspired, but they did not really have the truth abiding in them. And yet he says, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit. They literally had these gifts of the Spirit that were indwelling in them. These false teachers had denied what the apostles had taught, and now the apostles are saying, you already have everything that you need. You know that he abides in you. How do you know that he abides in you? Was it not we who gave you the miraculous abilities? Was it not we who, by the Holy Spirit, anointed you, that you received him, and now you know that he's indwelling in you? How do you know he's indwelling in you? Well, because they had the ability to do the miracles then. How do we know that we have the Holy Spirit, as it were, dwelling in us now? Well, we have the Word of God. Does he dwell in us the exact same way that he dwelt in them? Oh, absolutely not. We know that he dwells in us because we keep his Word. He dwells in us the same way Christ dwells in us, the same way God dwells in us, and that is through faith. Well, how do we have faith? Romans 1 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so it is that we abide in him, and he abides in us by keeping the commandments and doing the will of God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, that which we have seen, and now, of course, he's again talking about the Christ here, and he's going to talk to them about how these false teachers had come in and said these wrong things. And he says, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so if someone would accept the teachings that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior, then he would have to live responsibly. He would have to continue to keep himself from the world. He'd have to continue to have the Spirit dwelling in him. Whosoever, 1 John 2, verse 5, keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And so back then, these false teachers were claiming to have fellowship with God, and yet they were rejecting the humanity of Christ. They were rejecting the deity of Christ. These false teachers wanted to discredit who he was. He wanted to discredit the apostles. But the apostles were the eyewitnesses of Christ. And that's exactly what's going on right here. The Holy Spirit given to the apostles with these miraculous manifestations. And so it is the case then that he says, this is how you know that you have Christ dwelling in you, because you have the miraculous gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. And there were some, even in this time, in Acts chapter 8, Philip had gone down to Samaria, had preached Christ unto them. They were baptized, both men and women. Simon also believed, and he also was baptized. But they had to send apostles down. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 says, now when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 17 says, they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. That was how they knew that God was dwelling with them and in them, is because they had the miraculous gifts. They had been given the miraculous gifts by the laying on of the hands of the apostles. And in Acts chapter 19, we see the same thing. It came to pass, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost? You will recall what happened. They said, we didn't even know there was a such thing. And Paul said, well, it's time for you to be baptized. This time you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, he says in verse 4. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6 says, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And so this was what we're talking about here. This is how they knew that Christ was dwelling with them, because the apostles had given them the miraculous abilities to know these things. Today, you and I have the Word of God. We know that the Spirit dwells in us because we keep the Word of God. And if we will continue to keep the Word of God, He will continue to dwell in us, and we can rest easy at night knowing that Christ is on our side.